Okay, well, we've got some special guests coming who I'm hoping will remember they're coming, who are going to share our Bible story with us this morning. So there are some Bibles in front of you on the tables, and I'll just show you the passage it's coming from. So we're looking at Luke chapter 24, verses 35 to 53. So this is a passage we're going to be hearing about, but as I said, we have got some special guests who are going to present it to us.
I can't wait until we tell the others. I know, right? I really couldn't believe when he broke bread with us. It was like a mask fell from my eyes and I could really see him alive. I think you should get your eyes tested. You're always peering at things. And my heart, honestly, I thought it was going to burst. It was sort of on fire. And before you say it, no, it wasn't heartburn. I was just so encouraged by all that Jesus was saying. Oh, I just wish this road weren't quite so long and so dusty. Not long now, though. Let us in. We've got some great news to share.
Calm down, calm down. We're coming. What's all the fuss about?
We met Jesus on the road breaking bread. He's alive. Hang on a minute. What's all this about seeing Jesus? Where? We were on the road to Emmaus and feeling right fed up after everything that had happened. And then he appeared. Well, we didn't recognise him at first. We thought he was some bloke who didn't seem to know what was going on.
Well, how did you know it was Jesus?
Give us a chance. We'll get into that part.
Peace be with you.
Oh! It's a ghost! It's a ghost! It can't really be Jesus!
Calm down. What's up? Don't you believe it's me? Look at my hands and feet. It's me! Go on, touch me. I'm real. There's a ghost of flesh and bones like I do.
Wow! This is incredible! Jesus, is it really you? Woohoo!
Do you guys have anything I could eat?
Well, possibly. Peter has eaten quite a lot lately.
How about this bit of leftover broiled fish?
Mmm, delicious.
Why did he never say that when I cooked before?
Listen, all the things I said when I was with you are coming true. How the Messiah had to suffer, rise from the dead on the third day, and then a total change through the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed in his name to all nations, starting from here, from Jerusalem. You're the first to hear and see it. You're the witnesses.
Wow, Jesus, this is quite a challenge.
What comes next is very important. I'm sending what my father promised to you. So stay here in the city until he arrives, until you're equipped with the power from on high.
Sounds exciting and a bit scary, but are you not going to be with us?
He then led them out from the city over to Bethany. Raising his hands, he blessed them, and while blessing them, made his exit, being carried up to heaven. And they were on their knees, worshipping him. They returned to Jerusalem, bursting with joy. They spent all their time in the temple, worshipping God.
We're going to start the next bit of the service with a little puzzle. Now, you guys might need to join this table. So for each table, there's a Bible verse which is relevant to our reading, but it's all chopped up. And so you need to reassemble it, but you might also find that you've got something missing. But you might also have something that another group needs because they'll have something missing as well. So if you can open your envelope and see if you can reconstruct the Bible verses that will be important in just a moment. Okay, so those verses are going to feature in a couple of minutes. Now, since January, I don't know whether anybody has noticed, but all of our talks and our Bible readings in Main Church have been from the book, have been from Luke. Now, I'm going to ask a few questions about Luke, and first answers is from anybody who is at primary school. Okay, so we've got a few people who are at primary school. Can anybody who's at primary school tell me what Luke's job was? Does anybody know what Luke's job was? It's quite a tricky question. Ben. A doctor. Yes, he was a doctor. That's right. Luke was a doctor. Now, maybe a bit like somebody like Colin, but he's also something of an amateur historian. Luke was also quite a good historian. All right, so Luke, but his job, that's right, was a doctor. Okay, now, what was the name or the title that we use for Luke's first book that's in the Bible? Anybody? Yeah. Okay, well done. The answer is Luke. Okay, now here's a slightly more tricky second question. What is the name of the second book that Luke wrote that is in our Bible? Yes. Acts, that's right. So Luke wrote two books. The first one was called Luke. And the book of Luke is basically a biography. It's a biography of Jesus. So it starts from, in fact, it starts before he was born, and it goes on to the bit that we've just had, when Jesus rose from the dead. And Luke's second book goes on from there. It's the Acts of the Apostles, of the Disciples, and it tells the story of what happened next. Now, towards the end of the book of Acts, somebody says about those early disciples, they have turned the world upside down. They've turned the world upside down. And in another place in the book of Acts, somebody else says about those early disciples, they say, those early disciples were just ordinary people. There wasn't anything special about their background. They were just ordinary folk. And they took note that how could they have done what they did? They must have been with Jesus. Now, if we think of the beginning of Luke's gospel, at the beginning of Luke's gospel, what was the situation of the disciples? At the very beginning of Luke's gospel, what was the situation of the disciples, like Peter, Mary, Martha, James, John? What were they doing at the very beginning of Luke's gospel? Normal stuff?
Hiding.
At the beginning of Luke's gospel? Oh, it's at the beginning of Acts, maybe. At the beginning of Luke's gospel? Well, maybe some of them weren't even born. Right, they will have been tiny. They had never heard of Jesus. They're probably children, if they'd even been born. By the end of Acts, they had turned the world upside down, even though there was nothing special about them. Right, so they'd gone from not knowing anything at all about Jesus through to turning the world upside down with their teaching and with the way in which they followed Jesus. So the question that we're asking today is, what can set our faith on fire? And of course, in the case of the disciples, it didn't happen all at once. It was like a journey. It happened one step at a time. So when I'm asking today, what could set your faith on fire? That's a question not about how can, and maybe you don't like the idea of your faith being kind of on fire. Maybe that's too violent an image. But what is the next step for growing and becoming more fruitful in your faith? Maybe we don't exactly like the idea of turning the world upside down. But how can we make a difference and an impact in our communities? How can we move our next step along the road? So, we're going to look at a few different stages from our passage and from Luke's story that we could be at. So I've got some pictures here. I'd like you all to kind of make the action as I do it. So the action here is a big shrug of the shoulders. Okay, so let's have a big shrug of the shoulders. And this is the disciples who didn't really know anything or anything much about Jesus early in their lives. Now, if you're a very young person, you might not know that much about Jesus. Or if you've only recently started coming to church, you might not know that much about Jesus. And you're kind of thinking, what's all this about? So the question for you would be, how can you find out more?
What can you do, or what help can you get from others to find out more? Okay, so next one is this one. It's the hand stretched out. So let's make the action. A hand stretched out to meet somebody else. So your situation in faith might be that you... Actually, we've got a Bible verse for this. Which group had Luke 24:34? Okay, can we have your Bible verse read out really loud and clear? They were saying, the Lord has risen indeed, or the Lord has indeed risen. He's definitely risen, and he's appeared to Simon. So this is what the disciples said when they hadn't themselves met Jesus. Now, that might be your situation. You've heard a lot about Jesus, or you know a lot about Jesus, and you do know that it's true, but you need to meet him personally. And that can happen before we know Jesus for the first time, but it can happen later on in our life with Jesus. So I would say that actually this is probably where I am. It's not that I need to meet Jesus for the first time, but I think there's a way in which I know a lot about him, and he is real to me, but I could do with meeting him again personally. Right, I think that's a situation for many of us. So maybe the next step for us is we need to encounter Jesus personally, either for the first time or again, because we've almost forgotten our connection with him. Okay, so the third one, can everybody make a sort of thinking or a head-scratching, pondering kind of face? Graham, what's your deep thinking face? Yes, you've got a beard. A beard, I think, helps with thinking, doesn't it? You can sort of scratch it, yes. okay, good. So Graham will be the expert in this area. Now, you might be in a situation in your faith where you know a lot, but you've got lots of doubt. You've got lots of doubts, and you've got lots of questions that you don't know the answer to. You want explanations and you want the answers to your questions. So which group had Luke 24:38? Okay, could somebody read it out? Why are you frightened, says Jesus, and why do doubts arise in your heart? And he said this to a group of disciples who could actually see him right at that moment. So they knew he was there and he was risen, but they just didn't understand how it all fitted together. They wanted answers to questions, and they wanted an explanation as to what was going on. And there's another verse for this, Luke 24:40 and 42-43. Which group had this? This is the one with the fish. Okay, somebody want to read it out from the far table? Right. He showed them his hands and his feet. So this is Jesus giving proof to the disciples that he really was alive and that he wasn't a ghost. He wasn't just a figment of their imagination because he could eat and digest a piece of ordinary food. So maybe your next step might be to get explanations and answers to your questions. Now, if this is where you are in your faith, that you need answers to your doubt, you're looking for answers to your doubts and questions, one of the things that I would say from my experience is, you'll never get all of the answers, right? You'll never get the full explanation, probably, until we meet with Jesus on that day. But you might be able to get enough. So let me give an example. In my faith, I don't know the full explanation for why there is so much evil and suffering in the world. But I do know enough. I know enough that it doesn't show that the Christian faith is untrue. Right? I've learned enough about that set of problems that I know it is not devastating to the Christian faith. Right? That doesn't mean I understand everything, but sometimes getting an answer or an explanation is about getting enough for what you need. Okay, the next one is this. Let's make the action as though we're full of power. I forgot what my action was, actually, for a moment there. So the picture is about electricity, but the action is about being full of power. And which group had the verses 48 and 49? Actually, it was this verse, because you needed power, didn't you? Somebody want to read it out? Okay, so this was Jesus telling his followers to wait for the filling of the Holy Spirit. So your stage of faith might be you're ready to serve the Lord Jesus, you know that he's alive, but you don't feel very effective. And you don't know what to do. You need a bit of the Holy Spirit's power. And maybe the next step for you is to ask for more of the Holy Spirit's presence and power in your life. And then the last one. Actually, I didn't think of an action for this. But we've got a nice bunch of grapes here. What would be an action for fruitfulness? I don't know. As though you're eating a nice juicy grape. Peach, yes, a nectarine, whatever your favourite fruit is, a nice piece of fruit. Okay, so let's have the verse for this. Verse 53, was that at the back there? Somebody want to read it out nice and loud? Okay, so the disciples worshipped Jesus. They were continually in the temple blessing God. So this is the disciples whose life was going to be serving Jesus, serving their communities, helping others to come to know him and have their lives transformed as well. These were the disciples who turned the world upside down, but they also stayed connected on a daily basis with Jesus. They spent their lives in worship and prayer, but also in serving their communities with the gospel. And maybe that's your situation. You're ready to serve Jesus, and what you want to see is fruitfulness and effectiveness in your life. So in all of these cases, maybe you don't know much about Jesus and your next step is to find out more. Maybe you do know about Jesus, but you need to encounter him personally, either for the first time or again. Or you've got loads of questions that you need to find out answers and explanations. Or you need more of the Holy Spirit's power. Or you want to see more fruitfulness in your life. What the question before us for our activities is, where are you in that whole, if we think about Luke's gospel, the disciples moved from knowing nothing about Jesus to turning the world upside down. Where on that journey are you, and what is your next step forward, and how can you take it? What can you do yourself, and what maybe can we or others help you with?
Okay, I'm just going to have a moment now, so just to close your eyes and just think for a minute. Does any of that touch you or do resonate with you? Does it sound familiar to where you're at? And then we're just going to go into our activity. So just close your eyes for a minute and just say, Lord, where am I at?